Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news now for 30 years in two languages all over the world and here in the United States. I've interviewed four U.S. presidents, worked at some of the largest television networks in the world, and I believe, after all of that, that news should be honest and direct and impactful. And that's why we call this Direct Impact. So there's this trend taking place in America. Maybe it's really more like a reverse trend. Affirmative action. See, affirmative action is supposed to give an advantage to those who may be less fortunate. But over the years, many argue that it actually ended up doing just the opposite. Let's look at it by allowing me to ask you a question. Because this is what really affirmative action is about. Do you think that a minority, for example, a good African-American student, should be accepted to a university even if he or she does not have the best grades among the entire group of student candidates? And here's what I mean. So let's suppose there are only two positions for new students left at this university. The one who is not a minority got a 92%, right? Boom, 92% between grades and exams. The other, who is a minority, got 91%, one percentage less. Which applicant do you give the position to? The one with 92% or the one with 91%? If you chose the one with 91%, who's the minority, ding, 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 you guessed correctly. Because that is how college students have been chosen in the United States beginning in the 1960s. That's when the administrations of President Kennedy and President Johnson pushed for civil rights laws that brought about affirmative action. But you see, over the past several decades, there have been many who have criticized that strategy, arguing that giving an advantage to minorities is no longer necessary. And they go on to say that affirmative action actually punishes those who are not minorities for nothing other than simply not being minorities. They say, if you have the best grades, you should have the best chances of getting in, no matter what your race or your ethnicity is. It's not fair, say students, including Marco DeFunis. This is the first one to complain. This is the guy who filed the very first complaint about this. This goes back to 1971. He accused the University of Washington of denying him a chance to get into a law school simply because he wasn't black, he said. Now, after nearly a half century, the U.S. Supreme Court has just sided with him. They have sided with DeFunis and all the other students who made the same argument over the last years. The court ruled that if you are applying for college, your race should not be used to get you in or keep you out, period. What they seem to be saying is that the only thing that should really matter is whether you're capable, whether you're intelligent. What are your grades? In other words, there should be no favoritism for race or anything else when admitting students. But have they, though, with that decision, really eliminated favoritism, if that's what they were trying to do? Think about it. I have. And the answer is no. They have not. They have not. Because now many are pointing out that there's a different type of favoritism, wouldn't you know? A favoritism not for the poor, but for the rich, and especially for the super rich. It's called legacy admissions. And it basically works like this. If your parents went to a school, give money to a school, or call up the school and offer a nice donation, and then mention that your name happens to be among those that's applying to go to this school, you are going to get moved up, even over students that have better grades than you, because your parents did that. That, my friends, is also favoritism. Not for the poor or for some black kid from the inner city, but in this case, for the rich, and it's reality. Look at this study. It was published by the Opportunity Insights Group. It finds that an applicant who comes from a family that represents 1% of income in the United States is 34% more likely to get into college compared to applicants with the same score, key here, who don't have wealthy parents. And if you come from a family of multimillionaire parents, you're twice as likely to get in. And joining us now to talk about this is Mike Leung. Mike is a podcaster. He has a very popular podcast. It's called Can We Please Talk? And he also, by the way, appears on cable television, corporate TV, as some people would call it. And we're happy to have him. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Rick, good to see you as always, my friend. That's right. Cable television, I need the exposure, right? I got a message out here that I want people to listen to. I should have made it, can we please listen? But that doesn't make any money. So can we please talk?
So listen, if you're appearing on MSNBC and CNN and some of those other places, trust me, nobody's listening anyway. But at least that's the trend of late. Let me ask you this question, because this is a very interesting thing the Supreme Court did. What is your take on this recent Supreme Court decision where they essentially said, look, to hell with affirmative action. We don't need it anymore. What do you make of that?
You know, we covered it on the show. As you know, my co-host has worked in education for forever. I have such mixed feelings because on the one hand, I agree with the Supreme Court's overarching decision. I agree that we should be basing this on your grades, right? We should be looking at the application and not the name on the application. We should be looking at the resume and the parts of it. Unfortunately, that's in an idealistic world, right? In a real world. Mm-hmm. We don't live in that real world. I'm a byproduct of affirmative action, Rick. Okay. I grew up in the Bronx, New York, and moved to Harrison, New York. The Bronx, New York, the school that I went to, 90% Blacks and Latinos. I moved to a white neighborhood, 90% white people. I got my application further advanced because of the advantages of moving to a district 45 minutes to an hour north, right? And that gets me noticed into a college that is pretty racially diverse, but I applied to one of the colleges that has a higher acceptance of Blacks and Latinos. So I can't be hypocritical of a system that I use to my advantage.
But hold on. Yeah. I'm going to push back on you here. Did you have the grades? Did they let you in even though you were an idiot? Or did they let you in because you were qualified? You know, you had the merit.
So I had the grades, high school grades, but sometimes the SAT scores were not up to snuff. So if you pair me with somebody who's a white student that's got maybe better SAT scores and similar grades, do I even get noticed? And that was the point of affirmative action. It was to get noticed. It was so that your resume would be like, hey, these are other people that are just as qualified as these white candidates. Don't overlook these candidates. It started like that. Maybe it didn't morph into that, which is probably the point.
Here's where I think you're right and you're wrong. I think in 1960 and 1950s America, African-Americans really were put on, right? It was difficult for them to be able to succeed. Since that time, some, 40, 50 years have passed? And I know Anglo-Americans who are much poorer and have worse conditions than African-Americans who are growing up Obama-like in good environments with wealthy parents who have good positions. And why should that guy or that gal who's actually either middle class or well-to-do but happens to be African-American get an advantage over somebody else who's middle class or well-to-do? Why?
I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I have no retort to that specific example. Unfortunately, Rick, that is the minority because, again, based on population, whites are still 62% of the population, right? African Americans make up like 13% of the population here in the U.S. The point of affirmative action was, and if you end it now, which the Supreme Court has in essence done in terms of colleges and universities factoring in race.
Right.
Yeah. You promote an idea that we're all equal and we should have equal access to jobs and educational opportunities. The problem is research studies have shown names that sound like Sanchez de Leon, which is my actual last name that my father changed to get a job. When he came into this country, we're not getting callbacks because they weren't getting that same access. And some of those same things still happen today. Go ahead.
I agree with you. And I would also agree with you that there's a disparity still among African-Americans. And yet there isn't the same disparity in education with Latinos and Asians in the United States who seem to have less of a problem getting into these schools on merit than African-Americans do. And I mean, that's just a hard-boiled truth, and it's difficult to deal with. How come we're having success? I'm talking you and I as Latinos in America, we're minorities too. Mm. And Asians are not only having success, they're blowing everybody else away. They're actually having to come up with rules in some schools where say, we can't take any more Asians. There's too many of them. So,
well,
when you use race as your barrier is what I'm saying.
No, and I agree with that. And I think, again, the big contention point for people that are on this progressive mindset, or at least appear to be on the left side of this equation, which, by the way, it should be a right-wrong thing, not a left-right thing.
Of course.
Most of them will argue that this is going to be advantageous now for white and Asian Americans because they tend to have the better grades. But when you look at access to education, just use me as the example, Rick, for example.
Right.
Again, grew up in the Bronx, school district in the bottom 10, 15,000, you know, the average median income, $41,000 a year of people that live in that area. You got foods and high trans fats in that area.
I'm going to stop you because this is where you and I think we'll find a meeting place.
Okay.
It's not about whether you're Cuban or Puerto Rican or Honduran or green or purple or black or Asian or anything. It's about income. I've always argued, give me a poor kid, give me a rich kid. The rich kid's going to have an easier time getting into school. You said SATs. I could afford one SAT, and then I ran out of money. My kids, because I happened to be a little richer than my parents were, they failed it, took it again, until eventually they got the right grade.
Right.
Poor kid can't afford to take it five times. So it's not about the color of your skin. It's about your bank account, by golly.
Well, I agree with that. But again, the majority of people that don't have the money look like you, sound like you, and happen to be darker than you and I. That's the point. And by the way, going back to your SAT point, just look at what happened in 2021 with Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, the two actresses here in the U.S. that were paying thousands of dollars to programs that can help boost their kids' SAT scores. They're taking fake photographs for their daughters to try to get admitted as rowing students at USC. I mean, these are the extravagant lengths that folks are going through that happen to be white, that have the advantage because, like you said, they have the bank account that they can put their kids in a position to get into the school. And that was the whole point of affirmative action. Not when it comes to school, because remember, it's not a law about schools. It was more about employment. But in terms of schools, now schools have to decide, do I take poor Mike Leon or do I take Felicity Huffman's daughter, even though they have the same equal grades?
We're going to move into the whole donor class and everything in just a minute. But before we leave this conversation, I think we've found some general agreement that if we focus on the income and we say, as a school, we should try and make sure 20% of our student population comes from an economic place where the parents are only able to make $50,000 a year. And we're going to help those guys because of the income, because they didn't have the advantages that the other students have. I'm okay with that. Where it gets just fuzzy is when you start saying, how black are you? Or how yellow are you? Or how brown are you? Or how white are you? And the whole color thing, Mike, I think we just need to get away from it.
No, look, Rick, I agree with you on that. I wish we could get away from it. I wish that you and I were just judged as Rick Sanchez and not Ricardo Sanchez or something like that, that white people look at us in those spaces. The one thing I did want to mention about that, we had Representative Jamal Bowman, who's a representative out of the state of New York, U.S. Yeah. House of Representatives, and former educator, former middle school principal in a pretty poor district, in my own district back in the Bronx. And he's talked about things like this, like if we're really going to solve the problem, we can't just keep yelling racism, racism, racism. When are we going to actually attack the problem, which is at a fundamental level that the school districts in that area are impoverished, that we don't have financial literacy set up for people in these schools that's passed down so they can learn how to save money, how to balance a checkbook, things like that. And he's been championing that in Congress. And here's somebody, I came on my show and I'm holding feet to fire saying, like, what do we do about some of these things? Because we keep talking about the problem and not solving the problem.
So when we come back, we have spoken about this supposed disparity where some people were getting into universities without having the merit to be in the university. And now the Supreme Court apparently has made some changes. Well, have we really fixed the problem Or are there still people getting into universities who don't deserve to be in the universities because they don't have the grades to be there, and yet somehow they're getting in? And who are those people? And that's what we're going to be talking about. And in fact, I want to mention one specific person who got away with that when we come back. Stay with us. Mike, you stay right there. And by the way, I'd like to continue the conversation with you. What do you think of this? I'd like to know what you think. Reach out to me on Twitter. I want to share my thoughts with you as you share your thoughts with me. Reach me at Rick Sanchez TV. That's Rick Sanchez TV on Twitter or X or whatever the hell you want to call it. I'll be looking for you. Okay, when we come back. While many African Americans are having a tough time achieving the necessary requirements to get into major universities, Hispanics in the United States are experiencing something a little different. What is it? We're going to tell you after the break.
In Kamchatka, land of fire-breathing volcanoes. Volcanoes vividly capture the imagination, and they define our lives much more than you would expect. So what are they capable of, and what makes Kamchatka's volcanoes stand out?
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact.
Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
There's no end in sight over how you're going to continue to destroy the Earth.
It's the case of the madness of the people.
I tried to go to the gym, but I'm certainly not ready to fight Russia.
This is all so absurd.
This is third world lunacy. Brainwashing.
As Ursula von der Leyen likes to say, we have the tools.
Why don't we just start with stability and business deals?
What planet are we living on, man?
We have very good propaganda in our press here in Europe.
I think we don't know the aftermath.
Anytime that you're not allowed to ask questions, you should ask all of the questions.
The more questions asked, the better the answers will be.
The history of political leaders in the U.S. is replete with examples of senators and presidents who, grade-wise, did not deserve what they were given. Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. Let me continue this by sharing with you that there may be no better example of what I just mentioned than George W. Bush. The 43rd president of the United States didn't even come close to the score needed to get into Harvard and Yale. Harvard and Yale. We're not talking about a community college here. He was a student who reportedly couldn't muster not only a 90% or 80%, he was in the 70 percentile. That means he was a C student. He had a C average. And yet, he was able to get into arguably the best universities in the world. And with young George Bush's score, would have all been impossible for any other ordinary student to take his score and try and get into Harvard or be admitted there. But President Bush, as we later called him, got in for one reason and for one reason only: the influence and the money of his grandfather, Prescott Bush, and the Bush family legacy. Interestingly enough, Hispanic students no longer need to be given a head start to get into college, at least not if you look at some of the recent numbers. and the enrollment numbers, how they're changing. According to a study completed by the Pew Group, Hispanic students in the United States are having more success than ever as applicants to universities. They're not as successful as Asian Americans, by the way, but much higher, for example, than African Americans. In fact, Latinos have doubled their enrollment over the past two decades in America. And we're back now with Mike Leon. He is a podcaster. His podcast is called Can We Please Talk? And he talks about these types of issues. And we've been talking a lot about the change so that people aren't accepted into a university based on race, and that we should really do everything possible to make it a meritocracy, right? You should be getting a job or getting into a university or getting anything in life based on how good you are, what your merit is. However, there's a problem. And I just told you about it with George Bush. George Bush barely had a C average. He barely had a C average. And he became the president of the United States because he was able to show that he had gotten into the Harvard Business School. I had to be smart, right? Maybe not. And I guess, Mike, am I wrong? He got into Yale, right?
He got into Yale for undergrad, Harvard Business School, SAT. I think he had like an 1180 or something like that. Again, a decent score and stuff like that. But again, not the grades were not up to snuff that would be comparable with somebody who was in that similar situation that maybe looked and sounded like you. So, yes, you're correct.
If you and I would have had those grades and would have had a C average in high school and we applied to Harvard, I don't know. Call me crazy, but I don't think they would have taken a Rick Sanchez or a Mike Leon.
You know, I was thinking about this, Rick, when you invited me on the program. Think about right now, I'm going through this. I have two daughters, right? And eventually one day I'm going to want them to get into college. I donate to my alma mater, which is Rutgers University. Mm-hmm. I would love for the school to look at their grades first, foremost, and only, right? Look at their grades, look at their application. However, there is, there's a part of me that says, this is my alma mater. I would love for my girls to go to the college and have the same experience that I have. And again, money is at the root of all of this. I'm donating to make the athletic program better so I can have a sense of pride around my university.
Yeah. So if there are two students and one of them is your daughter and the other one is somebody else's daughter and they're equal and they get to give your daughter an advantage because her dad has been good enough to be an alumni and has given support to the school, I'm fine with that. But I don't want them to take your daughter and put them above somebody who has much better qualifications than her simply because Mike happens to have a couple of bucks in his pocket and gave to the university.
I agree wholeheartedly with all of that. You know, there's a saying that a friend of mine that's a recruiter, you know, out there would always say to me when we were looking at applicants, right? It was skill set, culture fit. Can the person actually do the job? And then can they fit in working here? Take the rest of them out of the equation in terms of what they look like, sound like, their name, et cetera, their background. Work fit, right? Culture fit. Can they do the job and can they fit in here? And that's what I hope people take away from this, especially in the US side of this, as they're looking at applications for folks that look and sound like you. We don't want to be ahead of somebody else because then we're going to know that those advantages were given to us. I agree with you. I think the majority of people in polling has shown would agree with you on that sentiment.
But if we're going to make the fix so that some poor black kid can no longer get into college and get ahead of some, you know, medium income white Anglo-Saxon kid simply because he happens to be African-American, which I think we're starting to have some kind of agreement, then, OK, maybe we shouldn't include race in this decision. Maybe then we should also fix the other side and stop letting the George Bushes of the world, and there are many of them, get into big universities simply because their daddy happens to be famous or rich or influential. This guy used that to become the president of the United States and then involved us in one of the most catastrophic wars in the history of our country. And I can't help but think if a guy wasn't competent enough to get into college but used that to become president and then became a really crappy president, and I feel bad saying that because his brother Jeb happens to be a friend of mine, and I think you and I both know the Bushes because they've done a lot of stuff here in South Florida. I'm sorry, but the truth is the truth. We need to put our best and our brightest in these positions, not some guy who got there because his daddy was famous or rich.
You know, Rick, as you were saying all that, I'm thinking about some of these incredible donors to universities and the advantages their families have gotten. Think of T. Boone Pickens, an oil tycoon at Oklahoma State University, who's donated over $175 million to the university. You think if you see Pickens on the last name and you work in the admissions office at Oklahoma State University, you're not fast-tracking that application? And that right there, my friends, is the point of affirmative action. It's not so that Pickens is fast-tracked because of the amount of money grandpa gave to the school or left to the school. It's so that, again, not taking outside that he donated the money. We appreciate that. We thank him for that. He gets the tax contribution. He gets the tax write-offs from that. But also, like, that application should be weighted based on what is written in that paper, grades, SAT scores, et cetera, versus somebody else. We don't live in that real world. Rick, we do not live in that real world. You and I, if both of us worked in the admissions office at Oklahoma State University and an application comes in that says Pickens on there, or Bush in this case, for Yale or Harvard, unfortunately, we're going to move that paper into the accepted column a lot faster. You know that, and I know that, unfortunately.
You're a great guest. Mike Leong is a podcaster. His podcast is very popular. You can listen to it, by the way, anywhere you get your podcast. It's called Can We Please Talk? And we did. So there you go. Thanks, Mike. Hey, before we go, I want to remind you of our mission. It's simple, really. We want to, like, try and de-silo the world. You know, we've got to stop living in these little boxes. Truths don't live in boxes, neither should we. And the truth is everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm going to be looking for you right here, where I hope to provide direct impact, by golly.